Welcome to Ag Matters, covering the positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
All right, perfect. Well, good morning, Leah, and welcome to this edition of Ag Matters Radio. Thank you so much for being my guest this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I'm here with Matt as well.
Okay, perfect. I will talk to you both then. I'd love to start my Ag Matters Radio show from my guests, letting us know their connection to Alaska and then their connection to agriculture, and in this case, kind of aquaculture. So tell us a little bit about yourselves, how you ended up in Alaska, and tell us about Barnacle Seafood or Barnacle Food.
Yeah, thanks for having us on the show. So we both grew up here in Juneau and have enjoyed eating local foods and harvesting foods for most of our lives here. And we both went to school and kind of got hooked on agriculture and food and how food can be a great tool for helping increase our resilience and sustainability. And I think we both got back, I got back to Alaska, and after having been in Arizona for college, I saw a lot of farms and was really inspired by some of the small-scale agriculture that was happening and felt like that was something that I would like to try to be a part of making more robust up here in Alaska, and especially in Southeast where we don't see very many farms. So we kind of met after college, and we both had this shared interest of food and agriculture, and our business Barnacle has arisen from those shared interests and an overall goal of doing what we can to strengthen Alaska's food system.
Yeah, perfect. So tell us what Barnacle Foods is, where are you guys located, and what are you putting into those jars?
Yeah, we are based out of Juneau and rooted here, and our business aims to take our seasonal surplus and preserve it to allow for consumption of our local foods year-round. And this past year, we started with our first product line, which is primarily made out of kelp. And while that's not a traditional agricultural product, Alaska has a really exciting mariculture industry that we're excited about being a part of and supporting as it grows. So right now, we go out and harvest wild kelp and make kelp salsa and kelp pickles and dried kelp blends. And in the future, we're hoping to be able to support the seaweed farmers that are online.
Okay, is that starting to happen down there?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of interest and momentum to have many of the shellfish growers all over the state start growing seaweed, and they can use their existing infrastructure, and there's a lot of added benefits to adding kelp farming along with their shellfish operations.
Okay, very good. And so I was recently at a Farm Bureau meeting, and there was some discussion about starting to limit the wild harvest of kelp from off the beaches. Is that something that you guys have had to deal with?
Yeah, it's all related, and we're doing our harvest out on the boat, so not off of the beaches. So it's a little bit different. But even though it's different, it's still very closely regulated, and we, as a state, just don't know a whole lot about our wild seaweed population and the life history of our seaweeds. And so it's good to be careful about removing it from the systems, whether it's pulling it off the beach that's already washed up, or going out on a boat and harvesting from patches where the seaweed is still attached to the bottom. And so we're being really careful with our harvesting practices and working closely with Fish and Game to make sure they know how much seaweed we're harvesting, and so that they can make adjustments in our permit allotments, or if other people want to get permitted to harvest, it's good to just know as closely possible what's going on with people harvesting, and also documenting how much seaweed there is out there. And
sure.
Yeah.
That makes good sense. So just a quick reminder to listeners that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit, and this morning I've got Leah and Matt online with me, and they are the entrepreneurs that created the business Barnacle Foods. And so you mentioned salsa and pickles and dried kelp. Where can people go to find out more about your products or to buy your products?
It's a great question. We have a website that's a good source of information. That's barnaclefoods.com. And if you're interested in trying our products, you can order directly from us and we'll ship it out of Juneau. Or we have a list of vendors on our website, and our products can be found in a number of places in Anchorage, as well as Palmer and a number of other communities around the state.
Yeah, I think they're available right next door to the radio station at Non-Essentials now, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, very good. I don't happen to be there. In case it wasn't clear with the technical glitches this morning, I actually am sitting in the airport down in Portland, Oregon. I just put my kiddos on a plane back to Alaska, and I'm ready to do some more business. But that's awesome that the products are available across the state, and I'm excited for you guys. Tell me a little bit about the name Barnacle Foods, because I remember, Leah, when I first tried the products, you guys maybe had a different business name going on, but I love Barnacle Foods. So tell us a little bit about that. How'd you come up with that?
Yeah, that's a great question. We were originally Wild Alaska Kelp Company, which we thought was a great name, but didn't quite fit our long-term goals as a business. We thought maybe in a few years that might not be the best name for us. So looking forward, we put a lot of time into what to call ourselves. We did a lot of thinking and putting words out there, and one that we just kept coming back to after months and months of scheming was Barnacle. And Barnacle really appealed to us because it embodies the coastal ecosystem so well here in Southeast, where you're never too far from the beach, and often you're on the water side or on the land side, and really barnacles kind of enjoy that same lifestyle of being underwater half the day and on land the other half of the day. They're also kind of a humble, taken for granted organism that doesn't get a whole lot of attention. And we kind of thought that going into processing food, we would also be in a sort of a non-glamorous trade that sort of related to barnacles' existence.
I love it.
So.
And
yeah.
Barnacles are your ultimate local eaters. They, you know, they're stuck to their rock and eat what floats by.
Very good. I really like it. So folks can find your products on your website, barnaclefoods.com. I think you're on social media as well, right? So they can follow your business dealings and events and things through your social media. We're gearing up for the holidays right now, and I am the biggest advocate for folks buying local and shopping local, supporting small businesses, et cetera. So is your quantities, are they good right now, such that if all of the listeners start going online and buying your products, do you have a good amount ready for the holiday season?
Yes, we are very well stocked and would love your support. It makes a really awesome stocking stuffer or gift. We just sold this past weekend at a local holiday market, and it's a very unique Alaskan product. So I think it makes a great treat for the holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned when you talked about changing your business name, you talked about kind of your long-term vision for the business and your five-year plan. So let's talk about that a little bit. If in a perfect world, if all of this comes together the way you're hoping it will, what will Barnacle Foods look like in 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, that's a great question. I guess if I say it out loud, maybe that'll hold us more accountable. But we're, you know, like I mentioned before, we're really interested in starting with kelp, which is a really abundant resource that we have down here in Southeast Alaska. And as we move forward in developing and develop our processing facility, we'd like to be able to add value and preserve other Alaskan foods, whether that's other wild foods or farmed, cultivated foods.
Yeah, and we're fairly small business right now. We're very small. And so far, working in Alaska has been wonderful. We've been really well supported by people from all over the state. And so that's been a great way to get off the ground. I think in the next 3 to 5 years, we're really looking to become a little more regional and get our products out of the state somewhat. So just focusing on creating really high quality, tasty foods that will be supported by customers all over. So we're really excited. We think Alaska has some of the best edible resources of anywhere. And so it's really our mission to share those edibles and flavors that you can only find up here in Alaska with other people around the country.
That's great. I love it. Leah, you and I first met because of our involvement with the Alaska Food Policy Council, and I know you're still involved there, at least I think you are. I've stepped off the board. But let's talk a little bit, we don't have a ton of time left, but let's talk a little bit about just the local food movement in general, particularly down there in Southeast, and your involvement with that and what you've seen happen over the last 3 to 5 years with local food down in Southeast.
Yeah. It's a really exciting time. You know, there's a lot of momentum in our region for startup businesses and entrepreneurs who want to be involved in our food system. And, you know, that includes people who are starting small micro farms, as well as, you know, there's like two other businesses just in our town who are also looking at seaweed and, you know, other edible non-conventional foods, and looking to bring that to more mainstream markets, and that's really exciting. You know, we're one of many businesses that are working really hard to bolster our food system, and ultimately build more resilient communities. And I think that seems to be a trend throughout the region. You know, we in Southeast have unique challenges, as do many other regions in the state.
Sure.
But, you know, the food system and logistics of local foods here presents a number of unique challenges, and we're seeing a lot of innovation. So it's very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys were, Barnacle Foods, or perhaps under your other business name, you guys were the recipient of an Innovation Entrepreneur Grant down there in Southeast, right? Do you want to mention that?
Yeah, we were really fortunate to be a part of a program called the Path to Prosperity, which is a business planning incubator and focuses on businesses that have values that are social and environmental and can also, you know, economically and financially sustain themselves. And we, you know, went through a process of going to a business planning boot camp that hooked us up with a lot of amazing resources to help us map out what our business could look like. And we were fortunate at the end of this process to also receive some funds to help us launch Barnacle.
Yeah, and that's an incredible program that's available, particularly down in Southeast, right? You have to be in a certain region to qualify for that program.
Yeah, right now it's just in Southeast. It's a program that's put on by Spruce Root. And just another exciting note is this past year, the business, the incubator was just open to food businesses. So There were 12 businesses that went into the final round and just went through boot camp. And there are a bunch of local food producers or processors that are in the process of, you know, hitting the market.
Well, that's great. I'm excited to see what businesses and delicious foods come out of the program this year, because I certainly enjoyed tasting your guys' products when I was down there in Southeast last year. So we're quickly running out of time. I think Mike has given me the heads up that we can go a couple minutes past 8 because of our glitches at the beginning of the show. So one last reminder that this is Ag Matters Radio, and I'm the host, Amy Pettit, and with me are Leah and Matt of Barnacle Foods, based down in Juneau, making delicious kelp salsas and pickles and other dried kelp items. So I'm going to put you guys on the spot a little bit. I should have given you a heads up about this question, but I kind of think it's more fun this way. I would love for you to talk, and maybe both of you can share your favorite recipe or food item that you like to eat that uses your Barnacle Foods products. So what's your favorite way to enjoy these products, and what would you say if someone was going to go buy one of them, what would you recommend they buy, and how would you have them try it?
Ooh, that's a good question, Amy. We cook with our salsas and pickles a lot, and luckily we're still not sick of them. I will say that my favorite dish to use the salsas with is kind of like a enchilada, but in a pan. So we call it enchilasagna.
Okay, I like it.
So it can be really versatile. We make it with seafood or ground meat or just with vegetables, but salmon is really the prime ingredient in there, and kelp. But you just layer tortillas and salmon and vegetables, and then when you're done, bake it with cheese on top and top a whole jar or two of any of the flavors of salsa on top of it, and it's just amazing. We eat it all the time.
Oh, it sounds really good. I think that's a recipe that needs to go out on your social media so we can replicate it. And before Leah shares her favorite, Matt, you mentioned multiple flavors of salsa. So what are the different flavors, just real quickly?
Yeah, we have 3 flavors of salsa. We have a green salsa verde that's based with kelp and tomatillos. So all of the salsas are made from 40% kelp. So kelp is
okay.
The ingredient in all of them.
Yeah.
And then other accents. And then we have a campfire flavor, which is spicy, lots of peppers, and also has roasted beets that kind of gives it a sweetness that's unique in salsas. And then our last flavor is our original, which is a balance kind of tomato, onion, garlic, kelp combo, and just a really smooth, mild salt that you can put on anything.
Well, I don't think I've tried the campfire one yet. I'm going to have to get my hands on that when I get back home.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Leah. Wrap us up with your favorite recipe using your products.
Okay. This is a tough one. Our house is stocked pretty well with all the jars that don't seal and the leftovers. So we use it in basically any meal, every meal. I'm pretty excited about our galley mix right now, which is a dried seasoning mix with kelp along with sesame seeds, and use it to top pretty much anything. It's really great to just put on top of salmon or even meat and then bake it. And most recently, okay, we tried it with mixing it with butter and putting it on toast, which is a great application. So, you know, bulk up your toast in the morning with some seaweed. Really good.
There you go. Yeah. Lots of natural vitamins and minerals, and I don't even know what else is in there, right?
Yeah, lots of good nutrients in our kelp here.
Perfect. Well, I want to thank you guys again for hanging out with me this morning on Ag Matters Radio and sticking with it despite our difficulties this morning. I'm sorry the show had to get cut a little bit short, but I'm super excited to try more of Barnacle Foods products and look forward to watching you guys grow.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Amy.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit, of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.